You're listening to Morning Edition on WPSU. I'm Mel DeYoung. State Senator Jake Corman represents the 34th Senatorial District, which includes Juniata, Perry, and portions of Center, Mifflin, and Union counties. Now in his fourth term, he's chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee. This past December, WPSU's Patty Satalia talked with him about state funding for Penn State, his legislative priorities, and about life and politics.
As chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, you are the most powerful Senate Republican in Pennsylvania. And I just have to say, you've come a long way since our days in radio sales at WMAJ.
We don't want to talk about how many years that's been, but I don't know that the most powerful is accurate. I like to say I got to be Appropriations Chairman right when the Commonwealth went broke. So I haven't had this wheeling dealing of power of money to spend. We've been spending all our time trying to figure out how the state can spend less the last 3 years. So I appreciate the thought, but I'm not sure it's quite accurate.
One of the difficult things you had to work through was state funding for higher education.
Sure.
Of course, Penn State was affected. 52.4% cut is what Governor Corbett was looking for.
Right.
That ultimately is not what happened. But how difficult were those negotiations, especially considering that Penn State receives less in state appropriations than any other university in the Big Ten?
Yeah. Well, for whatever reason, higher education has not received the priority at state government that I think it deserves, and some others do as well. It's always the last to get money when times are good, and it's the first to get cut when things aren't going so well as they have been recently. And I think a lot of that, if you look at Penn State, when you're trying to dole out a finite amount of state resources, you usually go to places in the most need. Well, Penn State's a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily look needy. But that's the wrong way to look at it. See, I always look at state government's investment in higher education, particularly Penn State and Pitt and Temple as well, is they provide in-state tuition. Now, private schools don't provide in-state tuition. Those schools, along with the state system, do. And what our money does, the state taxpayers that we invest in those schools, is it buys down tuition for Pennsylvania students. I believe Penn State, and this is rough, they probably have about a $27,000 per year tuition for out-of-state students and about
26-something, right? And 14 for in-state.
Yeah, so that's a $12,000 benefit those students are getting because of the money the Commonwealth invests. So I always look at it as not the university's getting this money, it's the students that are benefiting from this money. And so when you and I met, I didn't have a college degree at that point in time. And quite frankly, my ceiling was somewhat capped of where I could go in my life. And then as an adult, I decided to go back and got a degree. And since then, my ceiling, what I wanted to do in my life, has risen.
But I've always been curious, because you're now 13 years in the state Senate. Your father had that position for 21 years.
Yeah.
Did you grow up kind of thinking, someday I'm going to follow in my father's footsteps?
Never. It was never something I wanted to do. I was in a journalism background because I loved sports. I wanted to be in sports broadcasting. I got into journalism and got my degree and did some sports broadcasting and decided that that wasn't going to be a career for me. Actually, what really got me interested in politics is when a friend of mine, Rick Santorum, won the U.S. Senate race in 1994.
You were his state director for 4 years.
I went to work for him. I'd known him since I was 12. He was a friend of the family, and so I went to work for him, and that's where I sort of got my bug for government service and politics. And shortly after that, about 4 years later, I ran for the Senate when my father decided to retire, and here I've been ever since.
You certainly knew what the job entailed. You grew up with this.
Yes.
Has the job changed much from what you observed as a child in terms of the demands of the job now in your position?
Well, I think it's a little bit easier now than what it was when my father first started in the 70s because I come home most nights. My father never came home just because it was a lot more difficult to drive. There were a lot of two-lane roads, and it wasn't easy to do. For me, it's a pretty easy ride, hour and 40 minutes, and so it's a comfortable ride. So just from that perspective, I think it's easier to do. I mean, it's still the same sort of thing. It's a public service. It's getting out and trying to solve community problems, and that's what the job is about. So that, I think, is the same. But as far as demand, I could be working at my son's Little League game, doing an email to someone because of Blackberries and things of that nature, where my father never could have done that.
During this latest legislative session, the issues taking center stage in Pennsylvania have been Marcellus Shale impact fees, school vouchers, and also privatization of liquor.
Yeah.
A fourth one that has been your priority.
Yeah.
has been transportation funding. Tell us a little bit about the work you've been doing there.
Well, we've had two studies now done by two different governors, a Democrat and a Republican, independent commissions that says we have a transportation problem in Pennsylvania, an infrastructure problem, that the cost of maintaining the system far has outgrown our ability to pay for it under the current system. We have a responsibility for roads and bridges in Pennsylvania, not to mention mass transit and some other components. The state legislature and the governor have that responsibility. So if we've identified a problem, to me, there's no excuse not resolving the problem.
And we've ignored it basically since 1997.
Well, 1997 was the last time we did a transportation bill in Pennsylvania. So, you know, they're not necessarily politically popular things to do, but there's two major benefits. One's a short-term benefit, which puts people to work. About 75% of PennDOT's budget is a pass-through to the private sector, all contracts let out to the lowest bidder. And so they're going to be hiring people to do these jobs, which is exactly what we need right now in Pennsylvania as people going back to work. And then the long-term benefit is not only are we addressing a problem that we have, but we're creating a better network for Pennsylvania to attract businesses to locate here. Now, you take some of those other issues you talked about, which some of them are important, but like the liquor issue. Do I think Pennsylvania should be one of the largest wholesalers of alcohol in the world? No. But you know what? The number one problem in our country today is people not having jobs. You know, no one has said, gee, Senator, I'd like to locate a job in Pennsylvania. I'd like to locate a job in your community or start a new business, but I can't because I can't buy a bottle of wine at the local sheet store. No one's ever said that to me. So as important as that issue is, it's not as important as the job issue is in Pennsylvania today. The education as well. Vouchers is important, but it's not, you know, it's not going to change the face of education in Pennsylvania one way or another. I support it, and I'm happy to support education reform, but my focus is on jobs and creating jobs, and I think the transportation infrastructure is one way government can get involved.
And accomplish two things, basically.
Exactly.
All right. Senator Jake Corman, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. Great being with you.